All right. So as I said, my name is Callie Thomas. Today I'll be talking to you about one of the papers that I submitted for my dissertation at the University of South Florida. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Kathy Heyer, Nick Castle, Larry Branch, Ross Sandell, and Rob Weech Maldonado, as they provided valuable guidance and in preparation in the execution of this research. I'd also like to acknowledge the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, who funded my dissertation research through an R36 to look at patient safety in nursing homes. And I'm missing the next slide, but I have no financial relationships to disclose. So, okay, before we get started, I think it's important that we all have we're on the same page with a working definition of what exactly patient safety in nursing homes is. The Agency for Healthcare, ARC, defined patient safety as freedom from accidental or preventable injuries produced by medical care. A report released by the Institute of Medicine back in 1999 increased awareness of U.S. medical errors in healthcare that were attributable to errors made by staff. And since then, there's been a national push towards adopting and improving patient safety, primarily in the hospital sector. And nursing homes have had a long history of quality of care issues, and a lot of these quality of care issues overlap with patient safety issues, such as restraint use and falls. Nevertheless, the topic of patient safety still is lagging behind the acute care setting in nursing homes. So the purpose of my overall dissertation was to look at various predictors of patient safety in nursing homes. And this paper in particular, I focused on patient safety culture in nursing homes and how that was related to safe care. So referencing back to the IOM report, they suggested that one of the biggest challenges towards moving toward a safer healthcare system was to change the culture of facilities from one in which individuals are blamed for errors to one in which errors are seen as opportunities for improvement and a way to prevent harm. Previous studies of nursing homes suggest that they lag behind hospitals in their patient safety culture adoption, and that nursing homes generally report poor perceptions of their facility's safety culture. So using Donna Bedian's SPO framework, this is a model that's frequently been used in the healthcare literature and examining health services. And in this framework, structure is defined as the environment where care is provided, process is how this care is provided, and the outcomes are the consequences of the two. So this paper, we look at the three components. For structure, I use the measure of patient safety culture. To look at processes of care, while there are a variety of measures that could be used in the nursing home literature, or in the nursing home, we selected restraint use as it has high levels of reliability and validity and is a frequently used measure that can be related to our patient safety outcome, which we chose to use falls. Falls are one of the most commonly reported negative outcomes in nursing homes, with approximately 1.5 falls per bed per year in the average nursing home. And they're detrimental, particularly to older adults, as they can lead to decreased quality of life and hospitalizations, and ultimately death. So the specific aims and hypotheses for this paper, based on previous literature and the working of the SPO model, I hypothesized that higher patient safety culture scores would be related to lower restraint use, that lower restraint use would be associated with fewer falls, and that a higher rating on patient safety culture would be associated with favorable outcomes independent of processes of care in nursing homes. So for this study, I used the ARC survey, Nursing Home Survey of Patient Safety Culture, which is a 42-item questionnaire that's filled out that measures 12 different domains of patient safety culture. And these include things like teamwork, communication, openness about incidents. It was completed by nursing home administrators and directors of nursing from a nationally representative sample of nursing homes. This was then merged with the online survey certification and reporting database, which was referenced in earlier studies this morning, as well as the minimum data set. And our final sample included 375,770 long-stay residents and 3,559 freestanding nursing homes. So because we had residents nested within facilities, we assumed that there was some variation, that there was shared variation between the residents and the nursing home. And because we had restraint use and falls, which were measured as yes-no dichotomies, we chose to use a hierarchical generalized estimating equation, with the primary independent variable being the patient safety culture score from the survey. And this score was derived by calculating the mean percent positive response rate given by the directors of nursing and the nursing home administrators to create a summary score, which was then averaged to give us an upper management rating for patient safety culture. We also control for various facility characteristics like size, ownership, chain membership, resident payer source, occupancy, and nurse staffing levels. For the processes of care, the physical restraint measure, we identified residents who were physically restrained, either limb, chair, or trunk, in the past 7 days. And for the outcome, we used the measure for fall that was obtained if they had fallen in the past 30 days from the target assessment. So the descriptive characteristics of the sample, the average score was about a 62% positive response rate. The average CNA hours per resident day were 2.5. The average RN to nurse ratio was about 2.7. 7% of facilities had 5% or more of their RN staff staffed by agency. 70% were for-profit and 58% were owned by a chain. And nursing homes in our sample had on average 114 beds. So results from the regression models examining restraint use confirmed hypothesis one in that higher patient safety summary scores were associated with a decreased prevalence of restraint use. So in practical terms, these numbers here indicate that a 10% increase in the patient safety culture score would result in for a 110-bed facility, which was the average size in the sample, 3 to 4 fewer residents who would be physically restrained. Controlling for other facility characteristics. And results examining the relationship between restraint use and falls confirms hypothesis two and supports previous literature showing the relationship between restraint use and falls, indicating that residents who were physically restrained had a 70% greater likelihood of falling in our sample. And results which examined patient safety culture and resident falls confirmed hypothesis three that independent of processes of care, which is physical restraints, which are predictive of falls, the higher scores on upper management's ratings were associated with the decreased odds of resident falls. So in practical terms for this slide, a 10% increase in the patient safety culture score was associated with 1 to 2 fewer residents in an average facility that fall. And this is independent of restraint use. So results from the study offer new information regarding the importance of patient safety culture to processes of care and patient safety outcomes. The results have implications for providers and policymakers. Some states have begun adopting the pay-for-performance through their Medicaid agencies, and CMS plans to implement a demonstration project. And falls and restraint use are two measures which many states are currently using to base these financial rewards. Therefore, providers should take heed to these findings as we suggest that a higher culture score would improve their performance on these two measures. In addition, physical restraint use is a measure that's used on Nursing Home Compare, which people who are consumers use as a tool to select nursing homes. So by improving their patient safety culture, hopefully providers would be able to decrease their restraint use and improve their ability to attract residents. And finally, poor care is really expensive, and falls are identified to be both preventable and an expensive outcome. And because our study shows that falls are significantly related to patient safety culture, investment in developing patient safety culture in nursing homes, as well as reporting scores and promoting safety, should result in savings to Medicaid and Medicare. And while our study does is one among the first to demonstrate these linkages between the three components, with an emphasis on patient safety, it is worthwhile to note the limitations. We were only able to use 1 year of data, so these are cross-sectional analyses, and they don't necessarily identify causal relationships. In addition, the study only looked at one outcome, falls, and although it is the most prevalent patient safety issue in nursing homes, future research that I hope to do should look at additional outcomes as well. And finally, it's also important to note that our respondents consisted only of upper management, so perhaps different staff in these facilities may have rated their culture differently. And there's really no definitive meaning of what patient safety culture scores translate into. We can only say that higher scores have better performing facilities. So our findings do suggest that a movement towards adopting patient safety culture would result in safe care for nursing home residents. So that's all. Thank you. I guess I'll take any questions. There was not significant variation. The first paper of my dissertation looked at the variation between the responses. It was about a 2-point difference, so it wasn't statistically significant. And there were no... yes, ma'am, they were correlated. But they didn't vary by any facility characteristics. So... they were likely to give very similar responses, which is surprising, and it took me a little while to convince my committee members that that these two people really were rating similarly. So, a good question.
I think the facility culture, right?
Yes, yes. Well, surprisingly, though, the average percent rating was only 62%. So you would think that these administrators would want to say, yeah, we're doing a great job, you know, and have 90% positive responses. But we had a nice little distribution. It was kind of a... the usual suspects, nonprofit facilities, those that had higher staffing levels. So the higher quality facilities really did have a higher rating of culture.
Higher quality means more safety? Is it the same culture?
It seems to be, but it, you know, which comes first? We're not, you know, are these facilities that are so focused on improving, you know, they have such a focus on quality that they want to implement all these patient safety culture activities and programs, or is it that they have high quality because they have a better culture?
How would you distinguish between quality and safety? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I... yeah.
Stop telling me that I've been struggling with it for a while.
As far as the measurement of quality and safety?
Yeah, the concept is, you know, I'm just trying, in my mind, to figure out what the difference is, if there is a difference.
Yeah, they're different, I believe safety is a subset of quality. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the issues that surround safety and safety in nursing homes are quality issues.
Because to me it just sounds like the newest buzzword.
Isn't there also a balance and tension actually between too much focus on safety and then quality?
Right, exactly. So facilities that, you know, they're so worried about residents falling, or they're so worried about infection rates, or malnutrition. You know, they're not giving them the, you know, the resident-centered choice to make all these decisions. Rather, they have such a focus on safety.
So.
Right. Well, actually, not here, though. Yeah, if they have a good culture of safety, they're not tying them down, so...